Father, I know every time we read your scriptures, every time we read this word, oh God, it reveals to us. It speaks to our lives, and we pray, oh God, that there will be no distraction this morning, but our hearts and our minds will be tuned to you, Lord. And when we leave this place this morning, we will not leave the same way we came in, but we will leave differently, oh Lord, because you have spoken to each, every heart in this place. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your spirit that has ministered to us this morning, oh God. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, musicians. A wonderful spirit of God in this place this morning. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Yes, let's give them, just say thank you and a round of applause for them. They've done an awesome job this morning. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Before I get into the message this morning, I want to first and foremost want to say welcome to the newcomers here. If it's the first time you're here, welcome to New Hope Christian Assembly. I hope you're encouraged and blessed as you have worshiped with us. And I just pray that you would continue to be encouraged through the rest of the service. If you're watching online, may the Lord bless you today. May you be encouraged. And I want to say this live this morning on viewers are online, and even to New Hope Christian Assembly, they want to give you just a little bit of encouragement. I got a phone call this morning from someone from friends of mine in Montreal, and they said they've been watching some of our live stream and some of our praise and worship testimonies and so forth and sermons, and there are times that they were crying on a monitor. And that just, they sense that presence of God. Even they're far away, they were sensing the presence of God. So it's amazing to know, even through this little online, there are just people watching. And it might not see that they're, being encouraged or blessed, whatever it is, because sometimes it can freeze. But, God works in ways that we don't even understand. And, he just called me this morning and says, wow, I was just crying when there was such a wonderful testimony service and wonderful presence of God. You just sensed it 4,000 kilometers away, and I just want to tell you that this morning. So we keep up on this good work, amen? We keep on worshiping the Lord together, and people will come to know Jesus Christ, even through this online. So, and I also want to say, Sister Melvina, that's Bruce's mother and Twyla's mother-in-law, as we prayed last week, and she just wanted to say on behalf of herself and the family, thank you very much for our prayers, and may just God had been with her, and there was nothing big or anything like that, so may the Lord get praise for that, amen? So she just wants to say thank you to every one of you and that we prayed and took time for her that Sunday morning. So Sister Melvina, if you're watching, may the Lord bless you today, and we just pray that the Lord will strengthen you once again. As we look at the bulletin this morning, there are many other prayer requests that we want to pray for, and there, don't forget our families, please. At times, when someone asks you, can you pray for me, just write it down, because it's so easy to us, we can forget. So just say, can we pray for you, write it down, put it somewhere. Can we pray for me, write it down, put it somewhere. And then when you have that name written down, please, when you see it, just pray for that person, okay? It just takes a couple of seconds because we don't want to be called a liar. So we want to say, if we say that we're going to pray, it's integrity. If we say we're going to pray, we're going to pray for someone. We keep our word, and we're going to do it. While we do those things like this, the Church of God expands in a spiritual way, and God moves in a mighty, precious way. Amen? Or do we know that in what series are we at? We're still in the series of, oh, Lord, help us. I might ask that other church. They might know which series I'm at. Do you know which series we're at in? Acts. So we're still in Acts. So we've looked at Acts chapter 1. We looked at Acts chapter 2 a bit briefly. We looked at Acts chapter 3. I will skip Acts chapter 4. And we're going to go to Acts chapter 5 this morning. And Acts series. And I want to continue this Acts series for a period of time. It is about the church. And this morning, we want to talk about the church affecting the community is to be a holy church. We will not impact the community. We will not impact our families. We will not impact people around us if you're not holy. If you're not holy in a practical way. For God is holy and he expects us to be holy. So we are holy. Amen? We have also heard that this morning as our sister read. Holiness. We need to be holy to impact the community. So there's things this morning that I want to share with you that it will, it might even challenge us. It challenged me, and it might even step on some toes, but it's okay. We have, some of us might have some boots on, and they're steel toes, but it's okay. We're still going to preach about God's Word. Amen? Because we want to hear from God's Word. And when God's Word is being preached, it reveals to us. Because it's a Word that is active and alive today. So we are here because we want to draw closer to God every single day of our lives. So as we see the series of the book of Acts is the beginning of a church at work. There were wonderful, great results. We've seen that great number, great people were added to the kingdom, added to the church. Acts 1 was the promise of the Holy Spirit, and they were baptized with the Holy Spirit, and they received power. Power for what? To be God's witness. Not power to control government, not power to control people, but power to control, to what? To be witnesses of in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And then in Acts 2, we've looked at, is 120 people were waiting in that upper room. What were they doing in that upper room? They were waiting. So they were focusing on what? They were focusing on the fullness of God. And when they focus on the fullness of God, now you can fulfill what God is called to do. And then we can see in Acts chapter 3, we've looked at Peter and John, two different people, two different characters, two different opinions. But because of the power of the Holy Spirit that they faced in Acts chapter 2, the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit unites people together. So they were going to a place of prayer in Acts chapter 3, and then they said, and then a crippled man was there for 40 years. He relied on men all the time. He relied on the man of people to bring him to the beautiful gate, to the temple courts, and just to beg for money. But Peter and John says, no, I don't have any money for you, no silver. But what I have, the thing that I have, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And that's, we've looked at that, the faith, the trust, and so forth. So, and then we go into a God in Acts chapter 4. They're still doing their work. They're still proclaiming Christ. They're still going out and speaking about the resurrecting. They went to Jesus. And now they're taken because they're proclaiming God's word. And they take them and they bring him to the Sanhedrin. They bring him to the lead Jewish leaders and they tell him, what are you doing all this all about? If you have a chance, read chapter 4 of Acts. And then they had to release them because they found no fault in them. He just says, please don't speak about Jesus anymore. So I'm just giving you a little history of chapter 1, 2, 3, 4. And now we're going to be going to chapter 5 of Acts. And we will see that chapter 5 is the story, if we all know the story of Ananias and
Sapphira.
This is something that forget to read, but there's something, but I'm not going to read from chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. That's not my key point this morning. My key point will be in verses 12 to 16. So every time we read Acts, we see that there are some interesting points for you and I, for the church. There's something that we can learn for every time we read Acts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you can go on all the way. And it's exciting to see the way God added people to the church. And you and I want to add, we want, our prayer is so the Lord would add people, not just to the church, but to the kingdom of God. Amen? That is our prayer, that people will be saved, people will be transformed, people will receive the power of God in their life and receive joy and peace. And I think at times we miss the fact that it is not our church, it is God's church. At times, men want to control that church, but it is not our church because God says it is my church. It is his church. So we must follow his rules. We must follow his standards. We must follow his scriptures to build the church of God, not the church of man. And this is what we need to look at this morning here. So once a pastor said, and I quote, that at times we are actually seeking to make the church large. And at times I can fail on that area. We want to, human tendency, we always want to make a church large. But hear what it tells us again. But what we should be seeking is to be holy. So the things that you and I have in our lives in a daily way, when he says to us, work out your salvation, is not just a one day thing. We got to work out our salvation. We got to guard our hearts. The things that must not enter into our lives, and the way we guard our hearts is when that internet is on, you just have to press end or shut the computer. That's what it is. Or anything else, or a movie, or whatever it is that's coming inside, because when it comes inside, it can dwell inside there if we don't deal with it. And you know, and we're going to look at it through the scriptures today. And even if there's sin in the camp, you will not win those battles. If there's sin in the camp, you will not be an effective person into your house. You will not be an effective person to your community. You will not do what God has called you to do if there's sin in your house. And we must remove that sin and throw it away, cast it away, burn it, throw it somewhere, because God is ready to pour out His Spirit among His people. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? Oh, Sister Shanique, what is my famous word this morning? Is this a Pentecostal church this morning? Are you with me this morning? We need to be holy people. And there are things that you and I must do this morning. And we're going to look at it through Ananias and Sapphira here. We know the story very well. Now a man named Ananias together with his wife. Oh, good. What a strong couple here. And you know that they sold a piece of their property. I'm still in Acts 5 verses 1 to 11 here this morning. They sold a piece of the property. While his wife acknowledged he kept part of the money by herself, for herself. And he brought the rest and put it to the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? And if you know the rest of the story, because he has lied to the Holy Spirit, died. And 3 hours later, even the wife had lied to the Holy Spirit, and died. Oh, look at that word lied for a moment. Brothers and sisters, this church will be empty today. Thank God that Holy Spirit is not doing the same thing what it did to Ananias and Sapphira. Because we know at times we lie. And when we thank God for His grace, thank God for His love, that He gives us a second chance, He gives us a third chance. Because this church will be empty today, including myself. And there's things that you and I must do. The word lie, and what I'm seeing about the word lying here this morning, church, if you want to be an effective church, if you want to affect your world, affect the community, there's things, even the word lie, that must remove from our lives. We are called to be holy. We are not called to be junky. We are called to be holy, and God has called us to examine ourselves, and there's things that we must examine and to remove it and throw it and dig it and put it away, far away from this thing, because God called us to be holy. You and I would never impact our community. We would never impact our families if we don't deal with ourselves. They will not get close to us. They will not even get close to us if we just lie. Because they're going to just tell us, I don't want to be this kind of Christian. Is this what I have to follow? And you and I face sometimes people around us and they say, I don't want to follow this kind of Christianity. When I talk about lie, is it, for example, not just lie or a white lie? I don't believe in white lies or a small lie. The lie is a lie. So, for example, when we sing the song, All to Jesus I Surrender, and we really don't surrender all, that is a lie. And when He tells us, and when we sing songs, Lord, I will follow You for wherever You want me to go, but then you just say, not there, God. That's a lie. We better be careful how we act and what we say and what we speak around the people, because the people around us are watching us. And well, we must be holy. And we must remove that. When we say, I surrender, surrender it all. Surrender it all and allow God to work in our lives. Because the time is getting shorter and shorter for Jesus' return. And I am tired of people saying, oh, she's that way, he's that way, but I thought he was a Christian and he lied, he stole taxes. And it's not good, it gives a bad example. So as human, at times we do say things that can actually portray us in another person instead of being a Christian. And then people say, I'm not want to follow this. I just pray that you will understand what I'm trying to bring out forth this morning. Help us, Lord, to be holy people. Help us, Lord, to walk worthy and holy. We sang that song this morning, walk worthy. Don't we want to walk worthy before the Lord? If we don't really mean it from our heart, the best thing is don't even sing it. if we want to, you know, walk worthy in you, that's our prayer. But let's act on it. Let's act on it and believe it and do it. And guard your steps. It says, guard your steps when you go into the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they are do wrong. So when you go into the house of God, be ready to receive from God. Be ready to receive the word of God. Let's not take it lightly. Let's not take it the same routine as week after week. But take it, Lord, speak to me today. I want to be more holy today in practical ways. And there's practical ways that we can be holy. We can never be the same height, the same as God is holy. But there's practical ways to be holy. And one of the practical ways is to have a pure heart. Another is to having a forgiving spirit. Another is when you have a practical way is to love one another. A practical way not just to love but act on the part. Another way of walking holy in a practical way is when we do all those things, then you will see the fruits. It bears good fruit out of it. So the people around us will not just see a rotten apple or rotten fruit, but they will see something that is holy that came from God. Amen? Don't we want people to look at us and say, growl, I just want a piece of that. I just want a piece of that. Just a piece of this is going to be good for me. But at times we fail. Now we're going to Acts chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. The apostles, I'm going to read it together. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people. In all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join. And this is our text this morning. No one else dared to join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Look at verse 13. Isn't it contradicting here a little bit? No one else dared to join them, even though they were highly regarded. So there are people that didn't want to join them, but also they were regarded. They were highly esteemed. Isn't that weird? Why? When you look at that for a moment, highly regarded, that there, because it could have been so many things there. No one wants to, at times, follow what we do with Christ. They're there from a distance, and it's okay. People don't want to join following Christ. Not everybody that we preach to or teach to or whatever it is that we give the opportunity to speak to the Jesus word to them, they're not going to just follow it. But there's also people that were highly regarded. They're highly esteemed of what they were doing. Why? Because they were living a holy life. And that's why if you're living a holy life, then the Lord will, what would happen? More men and women believed in the Lord and were added to the number because they were living a holy life. That's what it is. And God works in people who are living a holy life. And then in verse 13, no one else dared to join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to the number. Go on, verse 15. As a result, people were brought sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds together also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. So we look at it, Peter's shadow might fall. It's because, just because, if there's a shadow here, nothing's going to happen. But if you are anointed by God, and if you're used by God, and you're holy with God, God is going to use you in a mighty way. You must believe that. Because God's will is to have more people to the kingdom of God, more people to experience His life, more people to experience His hand and a transformation power, and He wants to use every single one of us. But if you're not holy, you cannot do that. You can do all you want, you can look all your resources, you can get all your strength elsewhere, but if there's no anointing of God upon your life, you have nothing. Because the anointing of God is much more important than anything else in a person's life. He wants us to be holy, holy people. The church was affected, so it affected the whole community. Why? Because the church was holy. If you want to affect your community, if you want to affect your family, if you want to affect your coworkers, if you want to affect your world, we must be holy. And what does it mean to be holy is to set apart. Set apart the things of this world. Do the opposite of the things of this world. Be holy in 1 Peter verses 1, 13 to 16. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, yet set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at His coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. If you live and Christ has lived into your heart, we must work out our salvation to be holier every single day. And there's things that must we remove and remove and remove so we can grow, just get closer in holiness to God. Sanctification, holiness, we must work on that every single day of our lives. After all, when we have a relationship with the living God, then we must daily live a set apart, not trying to bend with the world, but instead living according to God's word. As we study the Bible and grow in it, the Bible says that God is holy and we are to be holy. We are overcomers, we are priests, we are kings. But the question, what about the practical ways? How are we to be holy? And how are we to be holy is we are seen to be holy, but at times not practicing in what our messages come out of. We're not practicing of the scriptures. We're not practicing of what God is teaching us on a daily basis as we go into the word of God. New hope. Let me tell you something. We hear messages all the time and it sounds good and it's very good and it's good points, good titles. And but let me tell you something. If there's nothing about the word of God in that script, in that preaching or in that teaching, there is nothing, because our standard is the word of God. That's our standard. We need to raise our bar and put our standard a little bit higher. The Bible is our standard. God's word reveals to us when we hear, it's active and instructs us how to walk a holy life. Now, if we go in Joshua chapter 7, we all know the story of Achan's sin. Achan's gone to battle. They were working their way to land as they went to battle. Their instruction was not to bring anything back. Don't keep anything. Leave it there. And what did they do? They did the opposite. They took it and they came and they went back and they buried it in their tent. All the gold and all that stuff that they took, they stole and they put it there. Oh, we don't need it. They don't need it anymore. They're all dead anyways. Why do I have to touch it? There was just a command saying, don't touch and don't bring anything back. And they did the opposite. They brought it back. It's like if I'm going to put a table outside there and I tell you, don't touch those cookies, I guarantee you one of us are going to touch that cookie. Okay, you can have only one cookie, and then one person's going to go, one, two. It's all in the mind. The instruction was, don't bring anything back. And you know the rest of the story. They brought it back and they lost their battles. And because when they find out what it was, and they what did they do to Achan's after that? They stoned him and they burned him. Because there was sin in the camp. God is not going to bless the church if there's sin in the camp. You can't have it buried inside. You must remove it. He cannot use you, and He will not use you if there's sin. You cannot win those battles if you have buried in your heart. Remove it, throw it out, cast it, burn it. Do what you have to do if you want to win the next battle, if you want to see, if you want to be an effective person in the community. And Achan had to deal with that. He didn't deal with it, and he burned. He stole him to the end. He burned him. I don't want that, that's for sure. So anytime something is trying to come home, is trying to come into my house, is trying to come into my heart, I just pray, Lord, remove it right now in Jesus' name. I don't want it to take control of my life. Look around, brothers and sisters. Look around our church. When sin is controlling people, the church are getting emptier and emptier. That's what's happening all over the world, because sin has entered into the hearts of people and they have not dealt with it. And then they will have a hard time to worship the Lord. It will be hypocrisy. They will be hypocrites because they're doing this like this. And then they go out on the street and people say, is this the kind of Christian you are? We must deal with our sins. We must deal with what comes into our hearts, into our lives right away, like the cancer. Cut it off right away because it's just going to kill you. Just look around, brothers and sisters. Look around us right here. It's because of that sin, that cancer that has entered into the lives of people and played with their minds and played with their hearts. And they're not here worshiping the Lord together because the enemy has won them. God is saying, remove, don't touch. And we touch. Same thing with ache. Don't bring anything back.
They don't deserve it. They're dead anyways. They're not going to find it.
They don't need it. How many times do we have the same excuses? Only one time, no one's going to see me. Just one time. Anyways, if you go and rob and you're going to see Bill Gates and he's one of the millionaires you can find, just if I take $1 million, you won't even notice it. Or let me just sneak in a tax return or something or just and try to get another $50 in my pocket. No one's going to see it. Government has lots of money. But God knows. God sees it. We're fooling men, but you can't fool God. We need to deal with that right away. Because I want this church to grow spiritually. I want this church to be holy. I want this church to be holy and holy and holy. So that people can see that and look at you and say, I want some of that. I want this. What is it? What is it? Why are you worshiping the Lord? Why are you smiling today? It's because Christ lives within my life. Wow, that's nice. And we know that we have in the past we have seen things like that. People don't want to be part of the church because of the sin of man of stealing, or the sin of man of had affairs, or the sin of man have done things the opposite of what we're preaching. And then we have a hard time to actually preach the gospel to them because they don't want to be part of that. This failing world are searching for answers. And you and I are the people who can have the answers for them through the scriptures. But if we're in the failing world, we cannot give them the answers. We can't say, and I'm going to touch on some things. You know, I don't want to like to say any names, but at times I've seen this in the past, and I'm not going to mention names. In the past, I've seen this in the other churches far away from here, 4,000 kilometers away. Not here, because New Hope is a good church. Just other church where I was pastoring before. Sunday mornings, there was people coming to the altar and worshiping the Lord and just crying before God, just lifting up their hands. And then you have a crowd of people in the church like this, looking at them. Instead of worshiping, they were just looking at them. And they says, "Are you hypocrites?" And used to get this on a weekly basis. They used to come up to the pastoral staff team and says, "Pastor, we have a hard time understanding this. Friday night and Saturday night, they were going out drinking and going to gagalanting and going out to strips, going out to clubs. And they're here worshiping the Lord on a Sunday morning. This is not Christian-like. It's giving a bad testimony. And people don't want part of that. You are a hypocrite." That's what they'll tell you. Those are big things. But I'm talking about little things that you can have in our hearts that it could affect the people around us and say, "I don't want to be part of that. I don't want to be part of that." So we want to be a holy church. Amen? A holy church. It says the Bible does tell us, if I have cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. That's a powerful statement right there. It's a powerful voice for you and I. God's not going to listen to your voice if we have sin. The only one that he's going to listen to us is first when we repent of our sins, and he's going to listen to us, that prayer. But if we have sin in our hearts, and you have experienced Christ, and you allow sin to be in your heart, you can scream and jump all you want, my friend, and you can do everything, the external thing. But if there's sin in your heart, God knows. And he won't listen to you until you go back and say, Lord, forgive me. Remove my sin. And God will remove it. The difference between sin and sinner here. Amen? Sinner is someone who is living that kind of lifestyle. And sin is something that we just sin. We sin today. We can sin every time. I sin right now. Maybe I'm sinning right now saying something about you guys. Well, I don't know. Maybe you're sitting right now just looking at me. Say, come on, preach it. Finish the service. I want to go home. I don't know. Our mind is just going there. So, Lord, forgive me. So we got to walk and just like an open book. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. I just sinned right now. Lord, I just sinned right now. Lord, forgive me. Oh, Lord, I want you to listen. Lord, forgive me. I just said something about Audrey right now. Lord, forgive me. That's sin. If I cherish sin, if I allow something to come in, God's not going to listen. I pray in Jesus' name that we would go and walk and work out our salvation every single day of our lives and say, Lord, forgive me today. I want to be holy. I want to be holy, Lord, because you are holy. Bible does tell us guard your heart, and we need to daily to guard our hearts. Because if we cherish sin in our hearts, the Lord will not listen. And how do we guard our hearts? Be careful what comes into our mind, into our hearts. You have to think pure thoughts. Thy word have I have hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. We must walk with the word daily. If you and I want to, if we want to be a Christian and be sold out for Jesus, we got to go all the way. We can't go halfway. With my whole heart I have sought thee, and let me not wander from thy commandments. And you'll find that Psalm 119. We also need to work out our salvation. What does that mean? My friends, it tells us in Philippians 2, verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, how much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with what? With fear and trembling. That's how you walk, work out your salvation. In fear. The fear of the Lord upon your life. It's, whoa, I can't do this because there's that fear of God in your heart. It's not a fear of man, the fear of God. See, that's wrong. I can't walk that way. So I got to work on my salvation to a better place. To walk out closer to God. And we see at times people just accept Christ as the personal Savior and we don't see them anymore. They forgot about, they got to work out the salvation. We got to work on it with fear and trembling before the Lord. Holy living should characterize the church. And I did some research on some titles of great titles. And listen to some of these titles that they said. This is a one weird title of a sermon. I make mistakes too. We all do things like that. Huh? He saw me in a tree. Is that going to trigger you if you want to watch, listen to a sermon like that? He saw me in the tree. What tree? A shaking in the making. Wow. Okay. The fact of making contact. And another one is, what's up, doc? Are these sermon titles? It's okay as long as the Word of God is their standard. As long as the Word of God is the standard. As long as this Bible verse is in there and they're explained and they're taught, it's okay to have a funny title like, what's up, Doug? I have some weird ones. I try to put the ones always biblical titles, because I don't want to get attacked on some of them. So I always put biblical titles as the best way. You get out of it safe. But the Word of God is the most important thing of all this. Is this is our standard. We must act and we live by our standards. Amen. We've got to raise our bar. It says, God, I want to walk holy with you. 1 Peter verses 1, 15, 16. Just as he has called you as holy, so to be holy in you, you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. And if we go back to Acts chapter 5, we see that the verse 12 talks about they met together. Again, this is they were working in one accord. They believed together. Remember Peter and John? Two different opinions, two different people. You know, can you select any one of us here this morning? We all have different opinions. We all have different characters. We all have different personalities. And at times we can clash. Am I right? Some of us can clash with the pastor. Yes. Amen. Sometimes we clash. But when you have and you're focusing on the power of the Holy Spirit, there is unity. Because the Holy Spirit unites two different characters, two different people together to do one purpose, to go ahead and forge ahead and do the work of God. So these, in verse 12 it says, they met together. So it's important for us that we are one accord. We got to understand that. Let me tell you this. If there is sin in the camp, in one accord, we must understand, we must remove it. Not to judge or attack or crush or kill, but to help and to uplift and say, listen, this sin does not belong there. Let's deal with it now because we want the blessings. And at times we sin with what? With our tongue. We say things and it can be very offensive and hurtful. I remember years ago, this is the funniest thing. We came from Italy. I don't remember that. I just remember I had one shoe on when I came from the airport. That's all we had. And I remember that my mom was always a Christian. And finally is trying to get my dad to come into the church, coming to hear from the Word of God. And remember that when he went there one Sunday and a second Sunday, and then a brother went up to him and says, you're going to hell because you have no tie. Oh, Lord, help us. And since that day, for years, he had never been back into the church. There's things that we say, it's useless. Why do you even say it? Like, really? I'll give you another church. Because the church is the body of Christ, huh? It's not God that says those things. It's the people that say things like this, okay? God is a loving God. So we went to my wife. We went to it was a conference. And Spanish was a Central American conference. And well, as soon as we went in already, we said, whoa, a tradition thing here. Well, men on one side and the women on one side. Okay, we respect that. No problem. Well, men on one side and I went there, bye. And she went there, the other side. Because they believe in focusing on the Lord in that way. There'll be no distraction, no hugging the wife or no kissing or just whatever. No, sometimes they can even argue. So they separate them. But the thing that really struck me is when they went up to my wife and says, you're having lipstick. Why do you have a lipstick on? That's a prostitute. This is someone inside the church that said this to my wife. So my wife came up to me and told me this. So I went outside and I got some tracks. And I went inside and I went up to the usher. And it was an usher and an usherette. I gave him, says, you need to repent and give Jesus. Give your heart to Jesus Christ. Well, no, we're Christians. No, just give your life to Jesus Christ. And we just left. But those things can offend people. Stupidities. And I say, stupidity. We need to be a holy church. And the only reason we come to church is to seek the one who is holy. That's the only thing. I come to church because I want more of him. More of him in my life. Man, we're getting older every single day of our lives. I'm getting older every day. You're all getting older. I feel the pain. You feel the pain. I guarantee you that. And it's getting closer. It's getting closer to our death. We're getting closer to the return of Christ. I says, Lord, no, I need to be more holy. I want to be more with you, Lord. More in your presence. Less of those little things. Our young people are not stupid. They're smart. They look at us and say, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like you, mom, or you, dad. You're always criticizing. That's not Christian. That's not how you want to teach our children or want to teach our community or teach our people around us. If we say we are Christians, let's act like a Christian. And let's walk like a Christian. This is our standard. Daily go to the Word and allow it to speak to us together and together. And it says, verse 13, no one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Why didn't anyone associate with them? One pastor said this, and he calls this, I don't even know if it's the right word, but easy, teacher, you're here, easy believism. Is that a word? Is that a word? Easy believism was not an option in the church, where Peter and John was in that church there. We have to, it's like, for example, at times we look at churches and say, an easy believism church is like, we have to drive through, have a drive through and say, two salvations, please. Or at times we come and we see a newcomer and we say, oh, you fill up this communication card. All is set. Don't worry. Everything is taken care of. That's easy believism. That's not right. Or if you just sign up on your email list, everything is correct. No. Accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's the first thing we got to look at. And not just simplicity. Or just, anybody can put anybody to the church and say, oh, I'll just write your name here. I'm going to get an email next week. God bless you. Are you really saved? That's not transformation in the person's life. That's inviting them a person to come to church and things like that. But it's not a salvation or a transformation in that person's life. And at churches, we're like that. We want to gather people by using things just to gather and making numbers in a church. But we don't want that. We want people that come here, experience Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. And that they leave this place holy, different, transformed by the power of God. That's what we want. And we as Christians must work and act on that. And at times, brothers and sisters, let me hear your heart, online radio, just shh. At times I hear things, it's wrong. And it's God's not going to work in our lives. We can't do that. We have to remove it and let God take care of it. Let God say, no, I don't want this in my life. Take it. So no one dared to join with them. Maybe because of some of them could have been a fear. We don't know why. But some of them didn't want to join with them. And when we share the gospel, not everybody wants to join with us. It's okay. It happens. But there's also people that were highly regarded by the people. But even though the Bible tells us cost your count, doesn't it tell us that the cost of being a disciple, we have to count the cost? You know, maybe they were kind of count the cost. Maybe they knew that if they become a Christian, they're going to suffer. You don't know. So what we need to count the cost. So if I'm going on vacation, that I have a hard time going, but I know someone else is going on vacation this couple of weeks, they got to count the cost. They got to see if they have the money before they leave. Or if you have to purchase something, you got to make sure. If you want a bigger church, you got to count the cost. You got to make sure if you have all these things and all the tools and all the resources to build another church. So becoming a Christian, we got to count the cost. You know, and I know that you're going to have to count that cost because sooner or later, you're going to be attacked. Sooner or later, you're going to be judged. So maybe those people that didn't want to dare to join them because they didn't want to count the cost. They didn't want to suffer for it. But then they were highly regarded by the people. Why is they highly regarded by the people? It's because they were living a holy life. And they've seen a difference in their life. They've seen a transformation in their life. Because they have set standard, and their standard was holiness. The standard needs to be more and more like Him and less of this world. A holy church is going to be an effective church. In the church that was united, the people did not associate with them, but that's okay, but they were highly esteemed, and the Lord added number to their daily, to the church. We make sure, church, New Hope Christian Assembly, that we have set a standard to live holy, and we're not about rules and regulations with Him. We need to be holy. The people were talking in such a way that the people have seen the difference in the life. And because them, they're living a holy life, the Holy Spirit was at work and many were healed. Because the Holy Spirit was at work. New Hope Christian Assembly, holy and united church, God will work at church. In a holy, united church, people will lift up Jesus. And when the Jesus name is lifted, He said that He would draw men to Him. Is that right? Jesus said that I will build my church. And church He has not given up. He's still building his church. He's still working on lives of people. We must remove that. It is not my church. It is God's church, and he's building the church. People are searching for answers, and do they see answers in you? Do they see answers in your life? Do they see answers in my life? That's the questions we got to ask. Yes, we live in this world, but we're not part of this world. We're not in the world. We're not part of the world. People around the world have a hard time believing because of our actions. We need to follow this book. We need to know this book. We need to memorize this book. And we need to act on this book. Do we believe that this morning? Do we believe that we need to act on this book and believe it? And when you more read it, when you more believe it, you will trust everything in the scriptures. Are we to be a holy church this morning? Are we to be a holy church? Yes, we are. Remember, church, an effective church is to be a holy church. And how does it start to be holy people? It starts one person at a time. It starts with us. So this morning, as we conclude, that was my just little devotion this morning. Some of you might say it was long, but it was my devotion this morning with you. I wanted to share with you, I want every single one of us to get closer to God and more holy to God. More holiness, and work in a way, in a practical way, to be holy. Remove things that needs to be removed and allow God to work in your life. So if you are like Achan this morning, there's something hidden in your life, get rid of it and be thankful it's not the Old Testament. Be thankful we're not living in that time, that he's just going to crush us and kill us. Remove that sin that is in the camp. Remove it right now. Says it does not belong there. When I'm talking about sin, it doesn't have to be pornography. It doesn't have to be an addict. It doesn't have to be whatever it is. It can be something small as even critic, something small as even jealousy, something small as even gossip. Just remove it in Jesus' name, because God is ready to pour his spirit among his people. Do you believe that? As the musicians come forward, as we're going to conclude with the song this morning. So if you're like Achan this morning, and we say that there's something there, remove it. Dig it out and say, don't belong here no more, God. I don't want it here no more, because I want to be a holy church. I want to be a holy person. If a church is not holy, it cannot be effective. It cannot be effective. And it starts with one. It starts to be more like Jesus. And if we start to be more like Jesus, then it can be effective in this community. If you're here this morning for the first time and you have not accepted Christ as a personal Savior, my encouragement is to search at the person who is holy, and that is God. And allow God to work in your life, and he will make you holy this morning. That is my prayer this morning to every one of you this morning, to including myself, is to be a holy people. So as they're going to sing this morning, let's all stand. If we sing it this morning, believe it.